You're listening to the new Classical FM on Classical Mornings with Mike and Jean. I'm Jean Stillwell. Now, the Ashkenaz Festival is opening on Tuesday, August 28th, and their opening night concert is already sold out. It's called Yiddish Glory, The Lost Songs of World War II. It's taking place at Kerner Hall, and with us to talk about it is Anis Stanchis, the historian and professor of Jewish studies at the University of Toronto, and Svetlana Dvoretsky, who is an impresaria and founder of Show One Productions and also the producer of the concert Yiddish Glory. Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for joining me here today.
It's great to be here.
Now, this concert is very exciting. I mean, it's a really exciting find, isn't it, Anna?
Yes. It's quite remarkable that this archive that was buried in the library for almost 70 years is now going to be played on one of the best stages in Canada and the world.
I cannot
stop thinking about how exciting it is.
Now, who organized this whole thing?
Well, it took a lot of people, a lot of vision to make all that happen. It started with the project that I was working on. And then I worked with musician Psoy Korolenko to bring this archival documents back to life as music. Then Dan Rosenberg, the local producer, brought more musicians. And then Show One Productions and Svetlana Dvoretsky actually took upon this project and decided to produce it as a concert. And that gave it an entirely new life, the one we couldn't imagine would happen.
So it's such a phenomenal idea. Svetlana, how did you find out about it? And how did you come to decide to make a concert of this, which is a fabulous idea?
Yeah, I'm actually very, very lucky because this lady right here is a very persistent
good for you, Anna.
Person. Very, very good for you. Mm-hmm. And she made a con. When did we get in touch first? It was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Two years ago, Anna phoned me. We didn't know each other back then, and she phoned me, introduced herself. She told me about the project, and she said that this is what we're doing. We're recording the CD because that was the original idea to record a CD. And she said, "Well, musicians are going to be here, and maybe you will find this interesting to put it on stage." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Of course, this is phenomenal. It sounds absolutely fantastic. When is this happening, right? Because we usually think 2-3 years
of
down
course.
The road, right?"
Of course.
She goes, "Oh, we've got time. It's in 2 months." So...
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
It's like, Anna.
You don't get it.
This is very, very, very challenging. But I'm so glad that we took that challenge and we produced that first concert, which happened 2 years ago. But it was at Richmond Hill Center for the Performing Arts. Because, of course, given the timeline, that's, it was very, very difficult to get the venue.
Yes, sure.
But our idea back then was definitely to put it on the main stage in the city.
It was also performed at Zoomer Hall, wasn't it?
Absolutely. So the very, very first concert happened at the Zoomer Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It was before the Richmond Hill. Yeah.
When these pieces were written, there was no notes attached to them, were there, Anna?
No, only 10% of songs had notes attached to them. So it took imagination and creative work of Psoy Korolenko, an artist who sings on that project, to reimagine those pieces. And sometimes he matched these words that talked about the destruction. Sometimes they were written about 10-year-old, sometimes they were written by 10-year-old children. Sometimes they were written by women, or most of the time they were written by people who's never written music before. So it's all amateur.
Mm-hmm.
And the words were amateur too. So for us to give this words, a meaning, a message, and make it into music, it took Psoy's creativity and imagination to get into the heads of these people and stay true to their culture, but also imagine what the audience of the 21st century will respond to. In other words, how can you make it not just one more concert of folk music, but instead make it an event that will stir people's hearts, that will make them compassionate about what happened. So that's how we did it. And also, sometimes the tunes that people used during the war were something that we could never sing today. I'll give you an example. There's one song called Tulchin, talks about the destruction of a small town in Ukraine called Tulchin. Before the war, there were 3,000 Jews living in it. After the war, only 20 survived. And there's this teenager, as 14-year-old Josef Braverman, who is interned in a Pechora concentration camp there, writes a song about the destruction of his town and the death of his parents. It's a heartbreaking song, but you know, he set it up to a tune, a Cossack tune, very cheerful one. He's a kid. He doesn't know. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, and that tune was used as a Nazi march too. How can you sing this heartbreaking song with that kind of music today? So Psoy decided we're going to sing it to Alfred Schnitzky's tune, which was written much later, which would really fit the message. So this kind of decision. Sometimes we use the archival music if we had it, but sometimes we had to reimagine it for the 21st century audience.
Well, the interesting thing also about this project is that these words were written at a time when it was the war was actually happening.
Yes.
And we have no idea today what that would feel like. But these words, this poetry is going to tell us what was happening right then and there and what emotions were being carried. So this is very powerful.
Yes. And also sometimes these songs are the first eyewitness accounts of what people witnessed during the war.
Yes.
So, you know, most sources on Holocaust history comes from the other side, from Germans. And here we have grassroots accounts, people who can't talk because it's too upsetting, but they use music to tell their story in order to express the emotions that they're feeling.
And poetry.
Absolutely.
Like Anne Frank did, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Now, I understand that Joseph Stalin stopped Berengovsky from writing these things.
So Berengovsky worked at the institution called the Cabinet for Jewish Culture, which was shut down in 1949, a year during which these songs were supposed to be published in a book. So Berengovsky went to jail, and all these materials were seized by the Soviet government and stayed in the archive of the secret police. When Berengovsky came out of jail in 1956, these documents did not come back to him, so he believed that this work has been lost forever. And historians, until 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when we discovered this stuff, said this collection has been lost. So the fact that it's now on stage means that it's not just Hitler was defeated, but also Stalin was defeated, and this plan did not work out.
Yes, yes, that's incredible. Now, yourself, and there was someone else that you worked with. I'm sorry, what was the name of that person that you worked with?
Psoy Korolenko.
Okay, that's very exciting. And so you've joined forces with Psoy to write melodies to the words of the pieces. Is that correct?
He did like 99.5% of that work.
And now, who cast this concert? Svetlana, can you tell us about that?
Sure, absolutely. It's Dan Rosenberg, who is, I would say that he's a music producer of this concert. We're presenters. We put it on stage and we do everything that requires. But Dan Rosenberg, it was all his ideas, and I'd say his brilliant ideas to invite these musicians who are participating in this project. Because we have a really, really vast and very cool, I would say, variety of people who are joining forces on Tuesday. This musicians comes from different parts of the world, from different genres, I would say. And for instance, we have this year Julian Milkes, who is joining us, who is a very world-renowned clarinetist, who's originally from Russia, and then he lived in Toronto, and now he doesn't live here anymore because he performs 300 days in a year.
For sure.
Right? But he's making his time to come here and perform on this stage. We have David Bookbinder, of course, who
phenomenal.
We all know.
Yeah, everybody knows David Bookbinder.
Exactly. our celebrity. We've got
Korolenko.
Psoy Korolenko, of course. We've got Gypsy Roma Trio, Loiko, and Sergei Yurdenko. They've done a lot of musical interpretations as
which
well.
Is a great idea.
And they're coming from Moscow.
Yes. Now I Sophie Millman has, this is a very, very personal thing for Sophie, isn't it? There's something about her grandfather.
So Sophie's story is the story of this project. Her grandfather served in the Red Army during the war. He was a doctor. Her grandmother survived the war in Kazakhstan. So when I approached Sophie about this project, she said, it's the first time there is a musical project that tells the story of my family. And she lended her incredible voice and incredible talent to tell that story. So it's relevant to Canadians, not just to people who share Russian-Jewish background and history.
It's fabulous. And I bet it's a wonderful opportunity for her to express herself.
She brought amazing vision to this project and her amazing voice, and we're very lucky.
Thank you. I just also want to mention that also in conjunction with the concert is on Thursday, August 23rd at 9 p.m., that's tomorrow, the New Classical FM will broadcast Yiddish Glory, the Lost Songs of World War II. Now, this is a radio documentary from Stan Rosenberg. You can find out how the songs were lost and then rediscovered by University of Toronto professor. That would be you, Anna, I imagine.
Yes.
And learn about their authors, their history, and hear the haunting and defiant music. Svetlana and Anna, I want to thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it, and I'm very excited about this concert.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to add that we're greatly appreciated for the support of the station, because definitely when we had an opportunity to perform here and premiere the project back then at the Zoomer Hall, it was a huge recognition. And
yes.
We're very, very thankful.
Well, people say it was the most professionally done video of Yiddish music in the past 20 years. I've heard it many times, so we're very grateful.
Well, we do have people here that it's very close and near and dear to their hearts as well. And it's certainly very moving just having this interview with you.
Thank you.
I want to thank you so much for coming in. We've been speaking with Anna Stanchis and Svetlana Dvoretsky about the opening concert at the Ashkenaz Festival. It's taking place on Tuesday, August 28th. This festival runs until September 3rd. And you can go, the concert is at Kerner Hall, but as we were saying, it's sold out. But there's many, many things that are happening at the Ashkenaz Festival. So go to ashkenaz.ca and find out all about it. Thanks.